A short while ago, the Radio Centre in the UK produced a piece of research that was unusual in that it was welcomed and applauded by virtually all sides of the industry. In this ASI cast, Brian Jacobs talks to the Radio Centre's Director of Planning, Mark Barber, about the origins of the research, which explores the difference between how the industry perceives the relative effectiveness of different media as against how effective they actually are in the marketplace.
Well, hi everybody, this is Brian Jacobs, and today on this ASI cast, I'm joined by Mark Barber, who's Planning Director at the Radio Centre. For those of you who don't know the Radio Centre, it's the trade organisation responsible for the marketing of commercial radio in the UK. So hi there, Mark.
Hi, Brian.
So the purpose of this really is to ask Mark a little bit about a very interesting study that came to light. What was it? Beginning of this month, I think. Beginning of March, I believe it was, which was done for the Radio Centre by the media consultancy Ubiquity, and which looked into how people perceive the effectiveness of different media types, and then compare those findings, as it were, with what the evidence says is the effectiveness of different media types. So, Mark, maybe you could begin by outlining the study for us and explaining a little bit about the thinking behind it.
I think if you look at the radio share of time spent with media, it's currently about 16%, according to IPA Touchpoints, yet we account for just under 4% of total advertising revenue. And because we know we've got loads of effectiveness research available in the public arena, probably more than any other medium we would hazard a guess in the UK, we believe that this must be down to perception rather than reason. So that was one of the main reasons we decided to conduct this study, to get that sort of relative sense of value in terms of evidence compared to perception. The reason we decided to go with Ubiquity was because I'm sure a lot of your listeners will know about their rich media market expertise, but also, more crucially, I guess, for us, their impartial position in the market. We really needed this to be seen as being a neutral piece of research for it to carry any weight.
Yes, and I think it's fair to say that the findings, which I'm sure you're going to go into in a minute, but the findings very largely were that there is a difference between how people perceive different media forms to be effective, as it were, versus the evidence that suggests how effective they actually are in kind of real life, as it were. So why do you think that perception exists?
Well, I think my theory is that despite there being more data available than ever before, I think heuristics are playing an increasingly prevalent role in the media decision-making process. And I think there are three main factors that are driving that. First of all, complexity created by the myriad combination of media channels, platforms, and ad formats that are available to advertisers nowadays. I think also data overload, so resulting from the torrent of sometimes conflicting data and research headlines that pour through the advertising trade media and sort of wash over us every day. And finally, the increasing focus of agency and client roles that have been developed to help organizations cope with the challenges and exploit the opportunities created by those first two factors. And so I think when you end up with more specialists spending more time negotiating the detail of an increasingly intricate media landscape, that's really hardly the ideal conditions to allow people to develop the most rounded and holistic perspective on the value of media to their campaign. So I think faced with that complexity of media choice that we're expected to navigate, it's no wonder that we tend to resort to heuristics to cope a bit more.
It is. I suppose it's been ever thus, though, isn't it? I mean, people have always held the view that medium A is massively, well, in fact, typically, I suppose, that television is massively effective, which, you know, by and large, it is pretty effective. And people will always, or have always, sort of maintained that, evidence notwithstanding, other media forms are a lot less effective. So I suppose in a way, I mean, I know it's much, much more complicated now and we've got many more choices, but I suppose this sort of gap between perception and reality has kind of always been there, hasn't it?
I guess to a certain degree, you know, we'll always have based decisions on our own experiences, you know, that we're human after all. That's the way we would manage complexity. But I guess it's just that things have become so complicated, there is so much that we could know that it's impossible for us to know it all. And I also sort of tie it back to what I think has happened over the last decade or so, which is the sort of the slow, painful death of implementational planning. You know, working on specific planning within a medium that delivers against the strategy you've developed. And I think that's a skill that is being lost, sadly. And the less people know about media, means that they are more likely to have to use heuristics to help them navigate that complexity.
Yeah, I think you're making a very good point here, which is that, as you say, I mean, it's become complicated, and then for a myriad of reasons, I suppose, planning has been somewhat in decline, certainly as against the sort of the rise and the increase in what one might perhaps simplify and refer to as buying. But I think that possibly that's starting to swing back a little bit, don't you think? I mean, there seems to be many more conversations these days about context, which I suppose is, after all, just, you know, leads you down a sort of planning track rather than a buying track, and the significance of the surrounding editorial, for want of a better expression, around the advertising. So maybe planning's time is coming back again.
Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, certainly I think the work done on behalf of the IPA by Les Binet and Peter Field is really helping to get a lot of very valuable planning-led data out into the market. But I'd like to pick up on that point you made about context, which is something we found in this study, is that people's expectations of targeting are being reframed by the capabilities of digital media. So if you, I'm sure you've looked at the study, Brian, but just to remind you on the point about speaking to the right people in the right place at the right time, the targeting element, a lot of the comments that we got back were all about addressability. Targeting has become about online addressability rather than any of those conventional targeting approaches we used to bear in mind, such as, you know, geography, time of day, day of week, and editorial context and consumer context as well. That people aren't thinking about those from a sort of a critical reasoned perspective. They're thinking about them purely from an online addressability perspective.
And it's that's an interesting point too, isn't it? Because your point of on addressability and the sort of extent to which micro-targeting, that's a sort of shorthand way of putting it, has become very much in vogue, has, of course, been somewhat in the news recently. With, you know, how certain social media platforms are using data, and how various software suppliers or analytics suppliers are taking that data and extrapolating it. So I was wondering whether or not you feel that possibly because of a result of the Facebook Cambridge Analytica affair, for want of a better expression, whether or not possibly brands are going to think again maybe about the merits of such a precise level of targeting, because there's a kind of dividing line between being relevant and being creepy, and it seems to me also that we're in danger of sort of rather moving into the sort of creepy territory and away from the relevant territory.
I guess there are different layers to that question. I guess, you know, is the recent Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal going to affect people's view of social media platforms? Well, I think perhaps in the margins, yes, it will. Perhaps a bit more than that, it will. But I don't think it's going to make a fundamental difference to the general direction of travel. Maybe it will just slow it down a little bit. And the reason I mention that is because you remember all the headlines from last year about transparent third-party audience measurement or brand safety. All of those things happened before we conducted the primary research in this study. Yet, that didn't seem to have any effect in terms of the relative value people placed on the different media attributes. So, for example, ROI was deemed to be more important than transparent third-party audience measurement. Brand salience was more important than brand safety. You know, in fact, those brand safety and transparent third-party audience measurement attributes ranked pretty much at the bottom end of the spectrum and were far less valued by advertisers than the ones at the top about targeting, about brand salience, triggering a positive emotional response and delivering ROI. So whilst I think it would make a difference and it will slow the things down, I'm not sure it's going to have a fundamental reversing effect on the general direction of travel.
Yeah, I think it's a question of sort of, I think there's two sides to this, aren't there? There's how consumers behave or consider such things as Facebook or other social media platforms. And I agree with you. I'm not sure this will make a very great, I mean, this whole business is, you know, it's not going to make a massive difference. It will make a difference at the margins. There'll be a few people who get concerned about giving away their data and stuff. But the question really is, I suppose, is whether or not, and your study, of course, is about perception, whether or not the perception is that for brands, they've got to be a bit careful when it comes to maybe, you know, overusing the exact nature of being able to target individuals almost, you know, going down an addressability route, and whether that perception will sort of ride ahead of reality, as it were, and suddenly brands are going to start thinking to themselves, we've got to be a bit careful about this. People are concerned about it, even if people aren't, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. And I think I'm sure certainly over the next few months that there'll be a lot of thinking going into how advertisers are using social media and the data that they generate to target messages. But I guess ultimately the proof of the pudding will be, you know, what's happening in terms of the response they're getting. It's a very responsive medium. And in fact, a lot of the comments we got in our primary research about social media or any online media was the responsive nature of it and how it gives you an idea of how people are responding to your advertising in the moment. So I guess that means that people will be able to get a good sense of whether this sort of effect is undermining their results from the media and then tweak it accordingly.
Mm. Do you think that, I mean, it seems, and the Les Burnett Peter Field work seems to say something sort of directionally similar. Do you think that we're getting to the point where social or online media forms, including social media, I mean, obviously other online media forms are, of course, available. They are very good maybe at generating a short-term effect. But if we're thinking about sort of long-term brand building and building profitable brands and all of that much more significant matter, maybe we need much more of an emphasis on traditional media forms. Or do you think that's just a sort of generational thing and that's someone of my kind of era speaking, as it were? Do you think it will just get over that and it will all come out in the wash?
Well, I think we're both probably of a similar vintage, Brian. So, but to sort of think about it more rationally, if you bear in mind the Les Burnett and Peter Field analysis, it suggests that you need to be speaking to the whole market or as many people as possible, not just those who are in the market to buy your product or brand now. And certainly just sort of thinking critically about the way online media tend to work and advertising within them would suggest that they are currently not as effective at doing that. Now, whether that will change in the longer term, we shall see. Now, in terms of evidence, though, I think this is where there's maybe a bit of a gap at the moment, because there's not a great deal of research that seems to be in the public arena that is easy to find that sort of can help demonstrate how online media can build brands. So I guess, you know, if that gap, information gap, starts to be filled with some very convincing and persuasive research, then we might start to change our minds. And these media, I'm sure, you know, have evolved a lot over the last 10 years and will continue to evolve. And maybe the areas that are concerning us at the moment may become less of an issue in the future, and they may develop better qualities for reaching beyond the in-market consumer to help brands effectively connect and drive brand salience more effectively.
I think, I mean, just to end, Mark, I think there's your study has been very, very well received. I don't think I've read a single criticism of it, actually, and there's been a great deal of praise, and all credit to you for doing it, and to the Radio Centre for doing it and for putting it out there, as it were. I mean, have you been a little bit surprised by that, or have you been? I'm sure you've been delighted, but have you been surprised by the fact that you've had praise from all quarters, as it were?
Well, it's very nice to get it, and thank you for your kind comments as well. And yes, I think we have been surprised by the extent to which people have praised the study. I guess we thought, because it is a neutral study, You know, there's it's all Ubiquiti's work, apart from the brief that we set them and the initial conversation about how they might respond to that brief. The analysis and the results that derive from that are completely Ubiquiti's work. So it was a bit of a risk on our behalf, I guess, but we've always had confidence that our medium is undervalued. You know, we have a lot of data that suggests how powerful it can be. So to a certain degree, we sort of knew that, or we sensed that we'd come out well within the research. I think, yes, it is very pleasing. We have been surprised by the amount and the extent of that positive feedback. And hopefully that sort of will give the study a little bit more credibility and help people sort of, I guess the point of it is, what do we want people to do as a result of seeing the study is to sit back and say, maybe it is time that I just re-looked at things, had a look at the evidence, rethought how my media mix is coming together, how the different elements are working, how it's delivering against my objectives. And I think if people do that, that's the one thing they do, then that's a good place for us to be, because inevitably, if they start to review things on the basis of evidence and data, I think radio will start to rise up the consideration set.
Excellent. Well, you've been a great supporter over the years of the ASI event and the ASI conference, and I'm sure I speak for Mike too, that we hope very much to see you on the platform again at this year's conference in Athens. But in the meantime, thanks very much indeed for joining us, Mark.
Thanks very much, Brian. Thank you.